You're listening to Transform Squadron, the podcast at zonebase.org. I'm Rob. Hi. This is the March 2019 edition of the show. And March has already been kind of a busy month. Beast Morphers finally debuted this past weekend on Nickelodeon. If you read the blog, you know I've been waiting for this all year, which was kind of a rough year to wait for because I had to wait through an entire season of Ninja Steel, the prior series. Now, I enjoyed Ninja Steel. I'm not going to crap on it, but it could have been a lot better. And, you know, it was about this time last year, you know, sometime in February, right around Toy Fair, when we found out Hasbro was buying Power Rangers and Hasbro was making the toys. And the next series was going to be Beast Morphers, you know, using GoBusters as the Super Sentai footage they're working with. Well, after a whole year of little sneaks and peeks here and there, the show finally debuted this past weekend, and it was good. It was a really good show. Like, it's kind of hard to say how the actual series will end up after one episode, especially a debut episode where they're basically, you know, showing how this new team is becoming Power Rangers. So it's kind of hard to say how the show will actually be. But as far as one episode, it was a pretty good little show. Like, the production value overall seemed the better. It's easy enough to say, well, that's Hasbro putting money into it, which probably was. But it seems like they were trying to make a better show than the past couple of shows have been. So I'm really hoping this trend continues, and I hope we get a really good show out of this. I know I set my DVR and I watch each week's episode of Power Rangers, probably usually a little later Saturday night or Sunday or whatever, sometimes Monday, you know, life can be busy sometimes. My life's busy. I have a very busy professional life, and so I can't watch it when it's debuting, you know, when the episode's airing live. And when you take that little effort into watching something, when you're just sometimes a little too busy to watch something, you appreciate it when it's better, you know? So I'm totally good with that. And as shown at Toy Fair, the toys will be coming out here soon. I think they're already popping up in Canada. They look great. Hasbro's done a really good job with this, seemingly so far. The toys all look really good. You know, I'm on the press release list for Power Rangers and Transformers news, and I get these press release emails every so often, and the ones they sent me for Power Rangers look great, you know. And I'm really looking forward to getting some of these. My main focus is the Megazords, you know. But I also really liked, you know, prior I liked buying my Imaginext Power Rangers toys. And with the Hasbro deal, that's over. You know, it's going to be Fun School Power Rangers toys from that age group. And they look pretty good. I don't think I like the Zord vehicles for the figures as much. Going by the pictures, because those Imaginext ones are just really sturdy and solid. And the pictures I've been looking at for the Zords and Megazords that the Fun School figures will ride in or whatever. I don't know if I like those as much right now. From what I'm seeing, I'm not sure. However, the individual figures, I'm pretty much all in for. They're looking pretty good. They're ranging over the whole history of the series, not just one line, because I was expecting it just to be Beast Morphers, you know. And Imagine X just had Mighty Morphin, which I was totally cool for because that's my favorite version of Power Rangers. But this looks like it's kind of all over the place, and I'm totally good for that too. And they're going to have a blind bag line with the figures. And you're talking about blind bag, essentially PVC action figures of something like Power Rangers, which has 25 years of history of, you know, villains and figures and all heroes and all that. That's perfect. And there looks like they're going to have little figurines of the various Zords and stuff in with the line. And I'm all for that. That sounds perfect. So I'm totally cool with that. Totally looking forward to that, as well as Micromorphers. Another thing they're doing with Power Rangers, a blind bag line. It looks like a blind bag and blind box line with little small, little kind of, I guess, rubber figurines of the Power Rangers characters. They look similar to Star Wars. Hasbro has a blind bag line. I forget what they call them. They used to call them battle pods. A couple years ago, they did the battle pods for G.I. Joe and Star Wars. And they went away for a few years. And now they're back with Star Wars, calling them something else. It's the same figures repackaged. And they got brand new ones for, you know, the new movies that Disney's been making. It's kind of like a cutesy SD style figure. And then they got vehicles and stuff they can fit in. They kind of look like those. And they have them in bags for just Micromorphers. And it looks like boxes. They're calling it Micromorpher Zords, which looks like how you get the Megazords that you can put the little figures in. I'm up for it. I'm totally up for it. I'm looking forward to, say, some weekend where I don't have a whole lot going on. Like, say, just, you know, every once in a while you have that weekend where you're not doing anything. You know, you're just groceries and that's that, you know. I'm looking for that weekend. I'm going to go out to Walmart or Target and maybe drop a good $20, $30 on just blind bag Power Ranger stuff. I am totally looking forward to this weekend that's going to happen. I might make a big deal of it. I'd be like, blind bag Rangers and maybe BotBots. That sounds great. I'm actually really excited thinking about that. I know I don't sound super excited right now, and that's because I haven't been up very long. So I haven't been awake very long. I actually woke up a couple hours ago. Now I just took a nap a little bit ago, and I'm about to actually have to run some errands. But I'm totally excited for the prospect of this. That sounds like a really good time to me. Maybe not to you, but totally sounds like a great time to me. So, yeah. Before we move on to the next subject, I'm going to have to take just a little bitty break here. I got to do something right quick, so I'll be right back. Okay, I'm back. Sorry about that. I was sitting here recording, and it occurred to me I haven't fed my fish yet. It's about 9:30 in the morning, and like I said, I'm about to go run a few errands, and it dawned on me, holy crap, I got to feed Bert. That's silly. Bert Reynolds is our betta fish that we have living on our mantle. And I just love this guy to death. He's blue. He's kind of cute, you know, the way he swims around. He's an adorable little fish. And it's kind of hard to, when you walk up to the thing, he seemingly recognizes you and starts swimming around and looking back. I don't know if he's actually recognizing you or just confused about what that weird blob is in front of him. You know, and he's hard not to love. I don't know. Maybe I don't know what's actually going through his mind. I'm not sure exactly what goes through a fish's mind. You know, I think they just swim, eat, and poop. But this little guy, he's just kind of hard not to love. And I was just thinking, oh, man, I don't want him to be hungry. So I went and took care of Bert. And now I'm back. Sorry. It's funny, you know, I'm going to segue into talking about my fish. This past weekend, my wife's mother was in town, and she took us to the aquarium in Atlanta, which is like a good hour and change north of us. And while we were there, I rode this awesome VR simulator they have in there. It's a VR simulator ride, being that the inside of the ride, it's themed up to look like a submarine, and inside it's got like, it's a moving theater, you know, where the seats move and all that with you, and you're wearing your headset, and the headset's a full 360 VR, so you can look all the way around you while the theater moves. Now, it doesn't have all the 4D type stuff like blowing hot air or anything at you while you're on it, but the moving seats in conjunction with the VR ride, timed pretty much on point. That was pretty great. It was a $10 price to pay, and I gladly pay it. You read the blog, you know, I love VR stuff. I love simulator rides. I have my cool headset here that I like to partake in VR at home. And that one was a pretty good one. It had a cool theme to it. I wish the theme was embellished a little more, being that you just pretty much put it on. And it was like, okay, we're going now. And it kind of sent you off in this undersea adventure without much explanation as to what's going on. But as far as you could handle, you were on a deep sea expedition, and you had some alien relic that sent you back in time. Like, there's a portal opened up as your sea craft was going in, and you went back to prehistoric underwater life, and there was like plesiosaurs, and they said giant sharks, but they're obviously meant to be megalodons swimming around. And you kind of swam around under the water on your thing, and your partner was by right next to you, and a volcano went off, and you're ducking through all the little ins and outs as rocks fell on you, and these giant megalodons came and attacking at you, and they're eating the other fish as you went by, and there's blood everywhere, and there's a lot of close calls and jump scares with the giant megalodons. In fact, they ended up eating your partner's craft. You know, you're like, holy crap, and they're about to eat you, and you pop back through the warp thing and came back just in time, you know, and you're being loaded up on the boat, and then your radio's like, this wasn't no ordinary adventure. It's like, well, it was a lot of fun. I just kind of wish they kind of went more into, because I thought I was just going on a VR deep sea journey, not a whole experience. Kind of guessing it was a licensed deal, and they just themed it up to match the aquarium, because the submarine housing for the thing had the aquarium logo on it and all that. I got the feeling it was like a licensed VR thing that you could probably get at other odd theme parks and attractions. I know Fun Spot Atlanta, which is actually not even in Atlanta. I think I've mentioned this before, how if they say Atlanta, they're talking about half the state. They got some simulators. I mean to get over there to ride some of those. I love that. It was a cool thing. It was a cool ride. And I'm telling you all that because my fish reminded me of it. But also, this coming weekend, I'll be back in Atlanta on the north side for Toylana. Been looking forward to Toylana past couple of months. I look forward to it all year, of course. But the past couple of months is when it really starts hitting that fever pitch. And it's this coming weekend. I don't know when you'll be hearing this episode. I'll submit it to, you know, Transform Squadron, the podcast is onbase.org. It's hosted through tfradio.net. That's our network. And that's, you know, Brian Kilby. Check those Amazon links. He'll remind you. I'm going to submit it to him a little bit later tonight after I've mixed it all together, after I run my errands. Actually, a little bit later this afternoon. I have no clue what time of day it is. And, you know, hopefully it'll be up tonight. Might be up sometime this week, maybe this weekend. So if you hear this before you go to the show, if you're attending Toylana, if you see me, say hi. I'd be glad to meet you. I'll be walking around. If you check out my Instagram, at RoboRobSpringer, you know what I look like. I'll be walking around. I'll be glad to meet you. This weekend, if you check out my Instagram, at RoboRobSpringer, I'll be steadily updating it. Now, I probably will do a bulk sharing of pictures from it to my Twitter page, because I'll do a couple of posting as I go throughout the day, each day of the con. And then that night, if last year goes the same way, I'll do like kind of a bulk posting of the pictures I haven't uploaded yet to my Instagram. And then I'll generally share those to Twitter. So if you follow either of those, you'll keep up with the Toyland adventure if you're not there and if you're interested. But also, check out zonebase.org. I'll have a weekend-long report going that I'll update at the end of each day. I'll have like a Friday, Saturday, Sunday, you know, little section. And as I update it at the end of each night, I'll reshare it with on the blog there. So make sure you check that out. Personally, I'm really looking forward to the show. Like I said, looking forward to seeing my friends, seeing Sean will be there, seeing Dusty. Dusty and I will be operating the Transformers panel. Looking forward to seeing Martin and Buddy. Just looking forward to seeing people there. Looking forward to having fun. I've actually had a very, very rough past couple of weeks. I've been very busy at work, which is kind of burning both ends of the candle a little more than I'd like. If I haven't been able to breathe as much as I'd like to. So having just a weekend of fun sounds like a really good time to me. I was thinking about, you know, I said last episode how I kind of make a mental list of stuff I'm looking for at the show that I ultimately end up not getting and doing whatever. So on that list of things, I've decided I want to see if I can find some Saber Rider and the Star Sheriff's toys, because I've never had any of their toys. I've enjoyed the show since childhood. I remember my brother and I would watch it on the afternoons on the channel here is called 69. It was a UHF channel. And at some point around the mid 90s, there was a giant network change here in Atlanta, in the Atlanta area and all the suburbs. Our channels got mixed up and 69 became UPN 69. And now it's CW 69, as I guess UPN changed at some point into a different name. It's pretty much the same network. And, but that channel always showed kind of odds and ends syndicated stuff before it became a network, like just random, like 46 here was like the best place for finding 46 and 36 had the best afternoon cartoons. And like the weekends, they had awesome movie marathons and syndicated stuff like Small Wonder and the Harry and the Hendersons TV show and stuff. Yeah, 36 was a Fox affiliate at the time. But if you remember when Fox first started off, it only had a few nights worth of programming. And then as it went, it had like maybe a couple of shows a night during the week. And then they started doing Fox Kids. And at some point, Fox switched over to Channel 5. Which Channel 5 was a CBS affiliate, and the CBS affiliate switched over to 46, and 36 became WB 36, but still had Fox Kids cartoon programming on. It was very strange. Thinking about it, that was very sad when CBS took over 46, because sure, I guess it was great for the channel. They had an actual network affiliate with programming and all that, and I'm sure their ratings and ad revenue went through the roof. But man, that was like the best channel in the world until that happened, because it was like they had like maybe a nightly news program, and then they'd show, you know, syndication packages, shows like Happy Days and all that stuff. And like their weekdays cartoons was like the best. That's where I'd watch Transformers and G.I. Joe and other cartoons as well. During the weekends, they'd have awesome movie marathons. I mean, most local channels are only going to show Halloween at Halloween time. No, they'd show it just 4th of July, sure. You know, I mean, they just show it whenever. And they really seem to love Halloween. Like the entire month of October, they did their own Shocktober thing where they were every night they'd have like just several horror movies on in theme with Halloween coming and Halloween safety promo things and all that. They just went nuts. Actually, come to think about it, I said on Zone Base before how summer is kind of like the lead up to Halloween season. It's like a mix of firecrackers and slasher movies late night on TV, you know, and they would totally ham that up. Cause I remember HBO, I don't know if HBO still does this. I haven't had HBO in years. HBO used to have a double feature Friday. And the double feature usually was themed. Like Police Academy, two Police Academy movies, or like two Friday the 13th movies, or something like that, you know. They'd usually be themed. 46, at some point, I guess, started reading TV Guide ahead of time or something, because they started planning their weekly movies during the summer to coincide with HBO's double feature. So, say Friday night, they were premiering, you know, Nightmare on Elm Street Part 4. Well, the weekdays leading up to that, they show all the Nightmare on Elm Streets 1 through 3 on 46, and here on Friday night, that premiere, here it would be, and just, they would always coincide somehow. And I always thought that was super cool. That is me rambling about stuff you probably don't care about. But I used to watch Star Saber Rider and the Star Sheriffs on 69 with my brother every afternoon. And Saber Rider, for those who don't know, it was made by, the name escapes me, the same company that brought us Voltron in the 80s, where they bought, they licensed rights to a Japanese cartoon and made an English speaking one out of it by dubbing it over and kind of changing out some stuff like they did with Voltron. Of course, Voltron was Go Lion and Die Rugger, and they made Voltron, you know, the first two Voltron shows from that. And I forget the name of the show they took for Saber Rider. It was like, forgive my ignorance here, something something Bismarck. The something something's the part I forget. And they made Saber Rider and the Star Sheriffs. And the show wasn't too dissimilar when it worked out. I mean, the guy who was the main character was just one of the main characters, while in Saber Rider, there was a definite main character, you know. And, you know, some stuff here and there, you know, how they worked it out. One of the biggest things that I always laughed at was the giant robot at a show that the crew piloted together. Of course, in something something Bismarck, the robot's name was Bismarck. Well, in Saber Rider, his name was Ramrod. Whose bright idea was it to name a robot Ramrod? Because I'm pretty sure even in the 80s, that was not a flattering term. In fact, I think that was an insult. You know, and now it's just, you can't say it without laughing. Like I think I said, I told my wife, I was like, I'm really kind of hope I can find a ramrod there. And she looked at me with the weirdest look. And I'm like, I'm not being dirty. You know, there's no way to say that without feeling weird. But if you don't know Ramrod or Bismarck, neither of those names are very great, are they? Because Bismarck is a type of donut here. But Saber Rider, of course, is Western themed. You got the three Star Sheriffs. One is Saber Rider, of course, and he's got a kind of British officer look to him, and is a they're almost in Sentai type outfits. Saber Rider is riding a robot horse, and he's got a saber, as his name would say, and he's in sort of an English officer type looking outfit, like his Power Ranger looking hat looks like one of those. The guy who's the main guy in Bismarck, whose name escapes me for anything, drives a sports car, and he's got sort of a, kind of looks like the Jason from Blaster Master, that outfit. There's him, and then there's the cowboy whose name I'm also forgetting. Oh my Lord, I am the worst at preparing for this ahead of time. He's a cowboy. Cool looking cowboy. He's got like a little space jet type vehicle he drives around, and a really cool blue and white outfit with a cowboy hat built into the helmet. Really good looking character designs here, guys. And they have their vehicles, and there's another one whose name I also forget, forgive me, a female character who has a pink and white outfit. I think they kind of de-emphasized her for Saber Rider and the Star Sheriffs. Like, she's kind of, she talks to them throughout the adventure through her headsets, and when they all get to Ramrod to pilot it, she's there with them piloting Ramrod. I've never seen the Japanese show aside from the intro, you know, something something Bismarck. So that's probably why I forget. I don't know if she does more or not in it. But I would assume so, being that she has like a cool outfit and all that. And, you know, it was the 80s. So who knows what they were thinking when they made Saber Rider to de-emphasize her as they did. She's kind of more of a base kind of a commander figure. While Saber Rider was, of course, the leader of the gang, she was kind of a more of a commander figure at base, telling them info and all that in Saber Rider. The toys, they had action figures of the riders, the Star Sheriffs, excuse me, and then their vehicles. And of course, the Japanese toy line, they had a figure of Bismarck. I don't know if they made a Ramrod figure or not. I cannot, when I was a kid, it never even crossed my mind to buy the toys. Like I said, it was one of those shows that was just, they showed it on 69, that channel I told you about. And the toys, they were just right under the level of being able to see easily. Like, I'm sure they showed them, had them at, I don't think I ever saw one at Walmart. You know, I'm sure they had them at Toys R Us's and stuff, but I don't think I ever saw one of their toys in person, you know, and as time has went by, I've seen them more and more. They're seemingly kind of popular in Microman circles because they're not too dissimilar from Microman looking figures. And that's where I've really started seeing them more was in the Microman group I spend a lot of time in over the years. And I've seen them there almost thinking like, wow, is that a Microman? Like, oh, wait, no, that's a dude from Saber Rider. And that's where I started getting more familiar with the toys. And as my ignorance about this line goes on, I don't know if they made a Ramrod figure. And that's a really good looking toy. It was a really good looking robot. If you're not really into it, he was like a giant spaceship that had like landing gear and stuff. And they would all pilot him to, you know, of course, to get around the galaxy to do Star Sheriff stuff. And when it was time to fight the monster of the week or the big bad guy or whatever, they turn him into Ramrod. He'd transform, and Ramrod was this giant robot cowboy looking thing. In Saber Rider, he was voiced by Peter Cullen. You guys all know Optimus Prime, that guy. And the thing is, he's using his Optimus Prime voice. It was kind of a cross between Optimus Prime and Ironhide. Like, he had a very heavy Southern accent, of course, because he was a cowpoke, you know. He was like, all right, boys, I got him here. And he was doing his Optimus Prime talking to you like a cowboy when Ramrod would come on the scene. And it was just great. You know, it's a great cartoon. I don't know if it's available on DVD. I've tried to buy it, and I only find out of stock listings on Amazon. So I don't know if that was a licensed release or not. It could have just been some bootlegs a seller was selling, you know. They're almost all on YouTube, so you can just Google it up. And in fact, there's playlists and stuff on YouTube with the entire series in order. So you can just do that if you want to watch the show. That's how I watch it. I'd love to buy it and have a legit copy of it, but I've got to be able to do so, you know. Great show, but the toy is really sharp. I've seen this toy, and I think there's been a couple of, new versions of it too, various collector's edition type deals, made of it, but I'd really like to get the old one because it's that design that really works in an 80s robot toy look more so than an updated look, if that makes any sense. Like I said, he's a spaceship that almost looks like a space shuttle. He almost looks like the Defiant from G.I. Joe. That is a very close resemblance to that. And he transforms very similar to Scourge in G1. You know how the body of the ship would open around him, kind of like wings, almost like a coffin? Kind of like that. He transforms like that, and Ramrod's inside. He's a black, white, and silver. Like, his robot form has more black in it. While there's white and there's chrome on his robot parts, whatever. He's got a cowboy hat style head. Just a good looking robot. And that's one of those things like I would love to get. I don't want to pay a fortune for it. I'd love to pay a reasonable price for one. I probably will never get my way on that. But if I ever find one and it's reasonable enough, I'm totally grabbing one. And that's one of the things I'm hoping to score at Toyland this weekend is maybe some Saber Rider toys. And when I'm there, I'm probably going to spend $60 at that guy on the back booth with the giant table full of cool baskets like I talked about last show. And maybe a GoBot from some other guy on the other end of the dealer's room. That's it. But if I see Saber Rider toys and they're at a fair price, I'll probably end up coming home with some of them. It's too cool for school, and I can't resist it. I've already got my Con backpack prepared. I've actually got a new Con backpack for this year. Wife got it for me at the end of autumn last year. I usually keep a backpack for going on to cons and various toy-related adventures at my ready. You know, and I switch it out every so many years just because they're, you know, you got to change up, you know. The past couple of years, I've had this awesome Ninja Turtles backpack that was like a very good backpack, like had all these awesome pockets for like a laptop and everything. It was just a great backpack, and it had has the Ninja Turtles on it, colored like graffiti, like it's a spray painted graffiti mural all over it of the Ninja Turtles fighting Krang and the Shredder and stuff. Great backpack, but it's time to move up, because basically what happens is I find another one and I end up buying it, and that becomes its use. And I got a Samurai Tactical backpack. It's a brand name, Samurai Tactical, and for some reason I'd say autumn, Ross had a whole bunch of them, and my wife got me one, because I remember seeing it go, wow, these are really nice backpacks, and she's like, yeah, they are, and I'm like, you know, I really don't need another one, I got that Ninja Turtle one I use all the time still, and it's really good, and she's like, okay, and then later a week, I was like, you know, I'm starting to wish I would have got that, and she just swung by and picked me up one, so I got a black one of those, and it's got a million pockets and millions of little things, like, it's meant for someone using it more seriously than a goober going to toy shows, you know, or taking it with them when he goes goodwilling, you know, it's meant for something more serious than that, but it's great, and I've got my brand new hand sanitizer in the pocket. You always make sure you bring hand sanitizer to these things, because, you know, you never know, between touching older toys sitting in dump bins, or shake someone's hand who's a complete stranger, and as you're walking away thinking, oh, I have some dry skin, you know, whatever. I mean, it's, you're in public, you gotta be careful. So hello sanitizers always come in handy. I meant to get one of those ones you tie onto the side of a bag that has a little rubber dongle to hold onto it. And I couldn't find one for anything this week, and so I got like just a little dollar bottle at the Family Dollar the other day that's mint smelling. So that's nice. It's Purell. I like Purell. Got some Kleenex, some little travel Kleenex packages. Could put those in there because, you know, it's spring. Yeah. I get allergies as is. I get, when seasons change, I get really bad seasonal allergy change problems. Not to mention, I'm in Georgia. The seasons don't change peacefully. They kind of come in and go like a tsunami. And right now, winter's dying off and spring is coming in. Yesterday, we had tornadoes. In fact, we have a whole spring is a couple of, this transition from winter to spring to summer means a lot of tornadoes. So right now it's like 30 degrees and raining. All weekend I was wearing shorts and a t-shirt and it was like pretty warm, you know? So that should tell you guys the craziness of weather. So having Kleenex is a good idea. You might have sniffles, you know? But I have my cool bag with all sorts of places to put things. And I'm just looking forward to the show. I can't wait. Before I go, I want to talk about a few more things. Jurassic Park has a great blind bag line available now at your stores. Their new series of toys for Jurassic Park is Dino Rivals, and there's some great dinosaur figures, great action figures of dinosaurs, really good-looking toys. And they've had blind bag Jurassic Park stuff before, usually some sort of odd dinosaur in a blind bag. They've had them before. The Rivals ones are unique in the fact that they're a little bit nicer action figures. They're dinosaur figures as the last series were, but they're just, there's something about them, you know. They're really nice figures. They're plastic. I got a Tyrannosaurus, and the one I got yesterday, he's got a jointed mouth. They're slightly rubbery, kind of good size. He's a good 2-3 inches big. If I read the packet right, the little informational flyer inside the bag, there was, I think, 13 figures available in this series. One of them being a... That's distracting. I don't know if you guys can hear it, but the yard guy is outside in the yard working the weed eater and leaf blower, which I'm glad he's doing it. But right now I'm trying to record a podcast, and I don't know if it's disrupting you guys. It's disrupting me. If he keeps going on, I'll have to take another break till he's done. But there was a rare version for the Dino Rivals of a gold sparkly Velociraptor, if I read it right. And I'm like, I totally want to get that. So those are some I'm definitely going to get some more of those. I was tempted for the Jurassic Park blind bag dinosaurs they had before, but like I said, I assumed they're just generic dinosaur toys just wrapped up in Jurassic Park packaging, and I grabbed this Dino Rival one, and part of me is sad thinking that the last series that I passed over for Jurassic World that they had going on since last summer was some of these, because these are great figures. Another blind series I'd like to talk about for a second is Treasure X. I've been admiring Treasure X since about last fall. I remember I went on an errand run. A lot of time, for those who don't know, I work overnight. I work from 6 at night to generally about 7 to 8 the following morning overnight. So I generally put in about 65 hours over the course of 5 days. And usually Monday is sort of like an odd day for me, because I'll get up with my wife when she goes to work. She has a normal out-time job in the daytime. And if I got any errands to run, like today, I got to take some Goodwill for her to the Goodwill store to donate. And, you know, I got to go to we have a P.O. box. I have to go by there to pick up some packages and stuff like that, where they required a signature and I couldn't pick them up yesterday. You know, odds and ends like that, I'll probably end up going to a couple of Family Dollars and Dollar Generals while I'm out, just because I'm out and about, you know, I'm kind of taking in. That's where if you've seen on my Instagram or me talking before on Zone Base Water about picking up the Authentics line, every single Transformers Authentics figure I've bought has been Monday with me doing these errands, and I've checked a few of these stores for them while I'm out. I think the only one that didn't come from one of those runs was when I grabbed the smaller Grimlock figure at Five Below at Christmas time. That was it. You know, I've yet to see him at Dollar General or anything. Last week, I took a load, actually 2 weeks ago, and I got the large Megatron figure from the Authentics line. So that's when I've been doing it. And while I'm out doing these things, last fall, I was checking out. There's this one Dollar General kind of around the way. That's actually a nice one. And I had to pick up something. She needed some tongs, you know, for cooking. Like we had one pair left where they don't last forever. I had to go pick up some tongs. I was going to check out the Halloween stuff, and I ended up buying some Capsule Spider-Man blind figures. They have a series of those, are Ultimate Spider-Man. And I was looking for the Brisk Venom tie-in drink, which for some reason I was only able to find at like Family Dollar and Dollar General. Only stores I was able to find it was that. And while I was out there looking is when I first found them. They're called Treasure X. And I was really interested, but it's kind of expensive, especially at somewhere like Dollar General. It was this giant gold box, like block in a box. And it had like a skeleton figure inside of it. And you had to dig them out of some dirt or whatever. And it was $10. And I was like, man, that is too much for a blind figure. But I'm really intrigued. And I kept all year since then, like just eyeing them up, and I was showing her like, look at these, and it's really cool. And but at the same time, she was like, yeah, that's really expensive, especially if you get doubles or whatever. And the way they do this is kind of dirty. You got the figures, they're skeletons. They're supposed to be the treasure hunters. You got their skeletons, like there's samurais, there's Vikings, there's a set of thugs, you know. And then there's a treasure chest also in there with the treasure they were hunting. So the treasure is randomly blind asserted in this block of dirt, as well as the skeleton figure that you're digging out his parts to assemble. And they give you a tool to, it's like this giant block. It feels like chalk, and they advise you to wet it up, like put it on some warm running water for about 30 seconds before you go, which is a good idea, 'cause it's kind of hard to dig through. And it's got a map, and it had a little coin on top of the block for finding stuff on the map. And you sit there and dig through this rock, clearing out pieces after pieces. And that's how you get them. And apparently they've been a success because they got a new series that's Dragons and a mini series for $5 instead of $10 for mini beasts instead of the Dragons at $10. And, you know, like I said, I first started noticing them last, I guess, fall. And here they are getting another series as is. Well, so we're at Target yesterday, and I was looking for the Cliffjumper Energizing Igniters figure. Totally found them because, you know, Walmart's done phased out the Bumblebee figures, and Target still has them. I've already got Soundwave. I hadn't found Ironhide yet or Ratchet, but I found Soundwave. I probably have to find those other ones at Five Below or Ollie's or something coming up, which that's okay. I can wait. But I finally found Bumblebee. The red Bumblebee repaint Cliff Jumper, which I really wanted to get. And while we were there, we looked at the Easter stuff because my wife loves Easter. And, you know, as I've made it clear before, we love the holidays and we totally ham up each holiday. And I was looking through that. You always have that little section at Target and at Walmart of little goodies for making an Easter basket. And Targets are always great because they'll have like little odd blind bag stuff and all that, like Kinder eggs. Well, they had a smaller Treasure X one that was $5. And it was for that new Dragon X Gold Dragon series they're doing with mini beasts in them. And I was like, oh, wow, $5. I'm totally going to do this because 10's a reach for blind bag figure. That's expensive. $5, that's more like it. So I took one of those home. And yesterday, after we're sitting here watching TV, I start work. You can check out my Instagram at RoboRupSpringer. And I totally dug through them, totally had a great time. And I got a little, I forget his name. He's a wolf. He's like a little odd ancient wolf of some sort. He's blue. He's got some gold and white on him. Totally cool. And his treasure is a silver wristband that's magical or whatever. And a double whammy of the treasure that's in the block for the Gold X line. There's a certain amount of them that'll be dipped in gold, like gold colored. So there's a double whammy random of this crazy blind box line. So much fun. Kind of dangerous how expensive that is, even at $5, trying to get all the monsters and all the treasure and then maybe some gold ones, you know. And then my wife sees me playing with this and sees me has a good time, and she walks away and comes back. My birthday is at the end of the month, and Easter's next month. Easter means she buys me a lot of blind bag stuff and makes me an Easter basket out of it. My birthday, she starts working in February. She makes me make her a list. She's a normal person. She can't keep up with Transformers. She can't keep up with a lot of the stuff I buy. So she makes me make her a list of stuff I'd like. And she spends time buying it so she can really have me a great birthday, you know. And she always ends up giving me something from it early. Like in 17, when the Power Rangers movie came out, she surprised me with a Power Rangers toy and got me some of the Power Rangers Krispy Kreme donuts so we could have that before we went to go see the movie that Saturday evening, that kind of thing. So she snuck around and came back, and she had me one of the regular Treasure X's, the full-size ones. And I was like, what is this? And she's like, you're having a good time. I want you to go ahead and have this one. And I was like, you turd. And I love her so much. That was great. So I went through that, and it was the Skeleton series. And apparently she was telling me, did you see the ones I got that are double ones where there's two figures in them? It's a big old set. And I'm like, no. So I hope she just didn't give away a surprise, but I'm going to be looking for these giant Treasure X's they have now too. But this is one of the ones with a skeleton in it, the regular Treasure X series. And man, when I just told you, you got the treasure chest in there. Now, the smaller one that I just told you about, the mini beast, the treasure was by itself in the dirt. You just kind of had to dig it out, you know. The regular sized one, the treasure's in a treasure chest. And it's got its own layer of dirt inside of it. But instead of being the dirt you work through with your tool that they give you, it's a fizzy. So you put water in it and it fizzes away and reveals your treasure, which is fun on a different level. And so that's a different level of blind bag altogether in this thing, is which treasure pieces you get. And they get on the informational sheet they give you, it gives you a treasure map, and it gives you, the full size one has a coin to point out stuff on the map for you. The mini one did not. And on there, they'll give you a list of what all figures are in the series and what all different types of treasures. Here's the dirty part. Remember I told you it had the different skeletons in the regular Treasure X line? Well, there's rare ones of those too. There's glow-in-the-dark ones, there's crystal ones, whatever. I got a glow-in-the-dark one, so I got one of the ultra-rare ones. Mine is sort of I don't want to say Aztec, but a sort of, he's not Egyptian, sort of old-timey knight with an axe, and his name is Sir Gold Axe because he has a gold axe. And that's awesome because I love playing Golden Axe, so I'm like, yep, double whammy here. And that was totally rad. And he came with the Silver Dragon's Claw. And the way the figure is made, you put them together, and he comes with sort of a
a little tray inside the box that you can put the figure on to be like a display stand. And one hand will hold his accessory, and the other hand's held out open where he can hold his treasure as he's displaying it to you. This is your treasure hunter and the treasure he's gotten. Treasure X is freaking awesome. I'm a little worried that because I want to buy more and more, especially now she told me she saw double packed figures. Because that's at $10 a piece, man, it's going to be like I'm dropping a fortune on these things if the bit bites me too hard. But if I buy one occasionally, it shouldn't be too bad. But I'm telling you guys, because chances are, if you dig Zone Base and if you dig Transform Squadron and you got the same taste as I do and you love some blind box fun. So check out Treasure X. If you got a spare 10 to blow on a treasure hunt of a toy, or $5 if you find some of those mini beasts, be warned, you're going to get dirty. The block is like I said, it's like a chalk or whatever. I put it in a Rubbermaid bowl so I wouldn't make too big of a mess. I was sitting here in the living room with my TV tray, and it comes with a little tool. The little mini ones came with just like a small little pick type tool. The bigger one came with, it looked like a lug wrench, like you have in your car for changing out your tire, one of those four-way things. And each one had like a shovel, had like a pick, had like a screw, like where you could screw it in and kind of separate some. And they're molded. I got the little Treasure X logo on them and stuff. The presentation on this stuff is great. Like the block is molded that you go through, like the mini beast one made it look like it had like fangs and all that. And these are really nice toys. I definitely plan to get some more of them, but you're going to get a little dirty. Even if you soak it in water, like I did ahead of time, makes it easier to dig through. It's some sort of synthetic chalk type material. I'm pretty sure you could write on a chalkboard with it when it's dry. If you do that and you ruin your chalkboard, don't blame me. I'm just thinking the way it looks, how it seems, you know. And I got out the pieces. I had to wash them off or put the figure together. And the main body torso component of both of the ones I had were wrapped up in like a cellophane, I guess to assure you didn't get the ports that you plug the figure together in clogged up. And the treasure chest inside the big one, now, this was cool. It was wrapped up itself, and the wrapping had like a printing of chains on it, so it looked like it was wrapped up in chains. I just love this. This was so cool. So much thought went into this. It's so rad. So, like I said, if you're into blind bag type stuff like I am, you like having a good time, grab you a Treasure X. It's a good time. One more thing before I get out of here and close her up. The Bumblebee movie. Everyone knows I've loved it. I've almost had a separate fandom for Bumblebee movie in addition to just Transformers in general. Because this has been one fresh breath of enthusiasm and enjoyment. It's just been it was a great movie. Just a great addition to Transformers in a whole. It was very nice to see the mostly positive reaction from the fan base. I've loved the toy series. I've loved everything about this. The movie releases on DVD here in America. I don't know about the rest of the world. I wish I was a little more fluent in that stuff. But, you know, some things you only keep up with as much as it affects you. On April 2nd. And I'm totally going to buy one now. Probably that following weekend, you know, that's like the middle of the week. So I don't know if I'll go to Walmart or Target on the way home from work and pick it up, or just wait till the following weekend and grab a copy of the movie. But I'm totally getting it. And like I said, I got my red cliff jumper yesterday, you know, actually, so to speak. I also found Warpath and Gears from the Walmart G1 reissue line this past weekend, and they made a mistake ringing them up, so I got them for $3. Woo! At least that's what my wife said. She picked them up while she was getting our groceries. So, no problems there. But totally got my red cliff jumper. And in Japan, the movie is just now starting to get released. It's like the final leg of the release. Hold on one second. Excuse me. I guess that's my one cough of the episode. The movie is coming out here in Japan right now. I think sometime in March or April. So Japan's getting the big Bumblebee promotional push. And boy, am I jealous of them, because I want to go through all of that again. That was so much fun, so much positivity, so much fun stuff. And now they're going through it. Their Speed series, I don't know what they're calling it there. I would look into it a little more, but like I said, there's only so much you're going to spend. I think they're just calling it Bumblebee line. What we called Speed Series, the Volkswagen Bumblebee and the Optimus, is getting released as magazine exclusives over there in a clear variation. You know, obviously they're going to have the regular version, but they got a clear yellow Bumblebee as a magazine exclusive, as well as a red Optimus as a magazine exclusive. And thematically, they've teamed it up with that red Megatron, I think from the last movie, that was a magazine exclusive. And they got this cool image and all that. I'll be sure to post it. It's actually one of the things I want to write as a post on Zone Base sometime this week. So depending on when you hear this episode, I'm either about to write about it or I've already written about it on Zone Base, because I think that's just the coolest thing in the world. They've got that going on, but also they've got the Bumblebee Cafe, which will be open in select locations here in March. And man, oh man, like I said, my birthday is at the end of March. My wife's been asking me, where do I want to eat? And I'm like, well, if we can make it to Japan there, I want to go to the Bumblebee Cafe because it looks too cool for school. It's the locations of this restaurant chain. They've all done thematically to be Bumblebee with Transformers themed movie items and bee resembling foods. There's this cool drink with sort of a cream puff water that's done to look as Bumblebee's head. The whole thing's amazing. If I understand what I've read right, this wasn't done in conjunction with Sanrio, the people who do Hello Kitty. And I showed my wife this. She's a big, big Sanrio fan. And she was like, oh, wow, that's really cool. And I was like, yeah, because, you know, it wasn't something I took a lot of notice of before her and I met a long time ago. But ever since her and I got together, I was taking really paid more attention to Sanrio and exactly how much attention to detail they go into for stuff and how good they are at designing things. Like when we went to Universal, there's the Hello Kitty store they have there. And I was just like, wow, just they're really good at stylish design, you know, and doing this with Bumblebee, what I've seen of it looks great. I'm very jealous of you fine folks in Japan who are getting to relive what I did in December with the whole fun from the Bumblebee movie, you know, here in spring, but you guys get this awesome cafe to go to. So I'm very jealous of you guys. Very, very jealous of you guys for your version of the Bumblebee experience. So I hope it's a hit there, like it has been a hit all over the world. I'm very happy that this movie has done as well as it has. I'm very also pointing a, you know how you push your nose up and go at the people who've hated on Bumblebee and seemingly wanted it to fail for some reason. Oh, and they keep trying to say, well, it hasn't done that great because it didn't make as much. Like, yeah, no matter, haters be gone, you know, so happy this movie's done well. It's seemingly like it's a new day. You know, Bumblebee has done us great and I'm very happy for that. So I'm very jealous of the good people of Japan who get this awesome cafe to go to. And I'm just telling all you guys, hey, go grab a copy of the movie. Go grab, you know, you want to, you're probably already going to. A lot of you probably have got it pre-ordered. I never really pre-order things. I just go to the store and get it. I mean, that's not to say I don't pre-order. I will be pre-ordering the Ectotron from GameStop here. I would pre-order it from Hasbro Pulse, but they don't do, P.O. box things. And when I bought my G2 Combat Hero Megatron, it was either have it delivered to my mother's house in Alabama and wait for next time we see her to get it, or we had it actually, we risk it being delivered to our door, and I had to sleep in my living room till the FedEx guy knocked on our door. You know, we have a P.O. box for a reason. People like to steal things off doors, and that makes me nervous. I'm pretty paranoid of that fact. In fact, it's happened before. So if Hasbro Pulse, I might have it delivered to my mother's house or just do it from EB and pick it up at the store or my P.O. box. I don't mind paying the $10 difference for the peace of mind that I can just get my toy without worrying about someone taking it, you know. So that being said, I'm going to close it up for this week. I've got to run some errands. It's cold outside. I can't wear my basketball shorts and t-shirt that I'm wearing right now to run these errands. I'm going to have to put some clothes on because it's kind of cold outside. So thanks everyone for listening. Transform Squadron is the podcast of ZoneBase.org, which can be found at www.zonebase.org. I'm Rob. You can find me not only at ZoneBase.org, but on my Instagram and Twitter at RoboRobSpringer. ZoneBase.org is hosted on the TF Radio Network, which can be found at www.tfradio.net for shows and showtimes. And Brian Kilby would absolutely love it if you check out those Amazon links. That'd be a big help to him. I'm going to get out of here. If I see you guys at Toylana this week, it'll be great to meet you. And next time you guys will hear from me, I'll officially be an older person because my birthday is at the end of the month. And my wife's got a surprise for me. She's taking me somewhere completely by surprise. So I'll probably have a cool story to tell you by then. So thanks everyone for listening. I'll be back next time. And while I'm mumbling, I'm trying to remember how to stop the recording. Thanks everyone for listening. Bye.